Grind up some greasy coffee beans. Columbia Dark Supreme. My heart beats fast and my eyes are wide. Make me toss and turn all night.
Welcome to episode 53 of Grits to Glitz, the podcast that asks the question, who are you wearing?
From all those greasy coffee beans. Ah, greasy coffee beans.
Robert Morgan Fisher, Greasy Coffee Beans, Podsafe Music Network. This is the
wow.
This is the abstract version of Grits to Glitz.
I like it.
That's everybody knows the routine.
And you are.
I'm Amy. I'm in Las Vegas.
Wearing? And I'm Bay, and I'm in East Tennessee, and I'm wearing Calvin Klein.
I'm wearing something that has a little bit of a story. I'm wearing an orange T-shirt with an R on it that I bought off of eBay that came with a certificate of authenticity to say that it was in the movie The View from the Top. It was, you know, that Gwyneth Paltrow thing when she was a flight attendant?
Oh, I loved that little movie.
And it was like Royalty Airlines, and there's an R on the T-shirt. And supposedly this was worn by a trainee in the movie, which is appropriate because it's movie week, right?
It's movie week. Yes, we're still reeling in the joy that was the Oscars on Sunday night.
Yes, because we have to continue reeling in that because Bravo didn't give us a new episode of Top Design tonight. We have to continue wallowing in the angst of Felicia and the Afghan.
No, actually, there was a really good interview with Felicia on Blogging Top Design, and you guys should check it out. It was a great interview.
Now you get a lot of insight there, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm so much more excited about our actual show this week. I mean, this is a dream come true on, like, three fronts, and I shouldn't even spoil the surprise.
No, don't spoil the surprise. I want to talk about me.
Okay. What are you doing this week, Amy?
What I am doing this week is scouring the country for half a yard of dusty rose crinkle cotton.
That's so funny. I've been doing the same thing.
Really? Almost as if you were the world's best stister. Yeah, okay, here's the story. I'm learning how to sew, and I bought this see and sew pattern. You can just look at it, and you can sew it. Ooh, see and sew. And it said, in order to make a caftan-sized shirt like you need to wear, Amy, you need 2 yards of material. So I bought 2 yards of dusty rose crinkle cotton. Ooh, how cute.
And there was a ton left on the bolt.
Oh, yeah. Great big fat bolt. Lots of fabric there. And I cut off my 2 yards and I purchased them and I came home and I laid out the pattern. And it didn't take care of the whole pattern. You know, the pattern wouldn't fit on that fabric. But I thought, well, phooey, I'll have to go back and buy another half a yard tomorrow. This was Saturday that this
happened. Gosh darn. Yeah.
Sunday, I turn right around, go right back to the store and look and where that fabric was, it is no more. They've got fuchsia, they've got black and navy blue and
no,
all
no.
This, but not dusty rose. So I went to the ladies who cut the fabric and said, do you happen to have it back there? And she said, no. And I went to customer service and I said, can you help me find rose-colored crinkle cotton? She said, do you have the receipt? I said, no, because I didn't think I needed the receipt to go and buy more of it.
It was right there before.
Right. So that was Sunday. And I'm looking at making a sleeveless top now. And Monday, I take my little receipt in my grubby little hand, and I look up every one of that store's outlets in Las Vegas, and there are 5 of them. And I call them and give them the product number and say, please, do you have some of this? And one of them says, we have 6 yards of that. And I think, hallelujah. And they say, let's go look on the shelf. Oh, no, it's not there. I think,
oh my God,
Bay, I think every fashion maven in Las Vegas saw me buying dusty rose crinkle cotton and said, Eureka, That's what we need. And they ran out and purchased every inch of it.
So, it's a plausible theory.
Right. And the only thing I needed it for was the sleeves. I mean, did I tell you, I've got the body of this thing cut out. And by the way, yes, 2 yards of fabric for the body of a shirt. For those who are adding
it
that
overlaps
up,
all around.
Well, yeah, it's like 2 shirts. It's got an underlayer and an overlayer and little ragged hems and all this kind of stuff. So it is, I'm not that big. All right, y'all. But now see, this is my conundrum because I am not tiny. I am a healthy girl and I want some sleeves on me. Sleeves?
Everyone wants some sleeves on them.
Yeah, well, no, not everyone. Little skinny girls can wear sleeveless shirts. And by the way, I can wear sleeveless shirts. When it's 115 degrees outside, dang it, I can wear a sleeveless shirt. And I don't care if they have to look at my ham-sized arms. But that's another story.
I disagree with you mildly, but I do disagree with you. I think that little cap sleeves. Look, you can go with a camisole and look normal. You can go with short sleeves and look normal. You can go with long sleeves and look normal. But cap sleeves and three-quarter length sleeves really only do one thing, and that's make you look fatter.
That's sleeveless.
Period.
Yeah. Well, cap sleeves, you wouldn't really think. But if they hug,
oh, no.
You hug your
cap
arm like a tourniquet.
Cap sleeves are evil. I have not worn a cap sleeve since I was 11 years old and skinny. And I mean emaciated, looking anorectic.
You were a stick.
Skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after that age, I was like normal sized, you know. But when I was 11, I looked like a concentration camp survivor.
Yes.
And I had this little dress with little cap sleeves, and it made me look normal sized. And I loved that dress because of it. But since then, I'm sorry, cap sleeves don't do anything except look like I used to be a normal sleeve, but then someone stuck an oak through me, and now I look incredibly tiny. I can't stand up to this arm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think cap sleeves are evil.
I needed some sleeves.
Yes,
so,
yeah, I
having exhausted every avenue in Las Vegas, I turned to my sister in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Dun da la, bay to the rescue. I spent some good times. I've gotten to know my Joannes in Knoxville so much more intimately than I knew it before. I, for instance, I don't sew. And I didn't even know there are 3 different fabric departments in Joannes.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're all over the place.
There's the apparel fabrics.
Yep.
And there's the quilting fabrics, and there's the interior design fabrics. And oh my gosh, do I love the interior design fabrics.
Aren't they beautiful?
Yummy. Oh my gosh. But
I'm not that big either. We can stick with the apparel fabric.
Yeah, you don't need that. So I go to Joann's for Amy on Monday or Tuesday. I think Monday. I went, and I must have been there an hour. Actually, I think it was an hour and 15 minutes. My children broke the power window buttons in my Prius.
No.
While I was in the... They fixed it, too. I have no idea how, but they did fix it back.
Oh.
But my Joanne... You know, you said your Joanne said, yes, we have that fabric. Let us go get it. The same thing happened at my Joanne's.
6 yards.
They said, yes, we have that. Yeah. Let's go get it. And then we went and looked on the shelves, and it wasn't there.
See, they came all the way from Las Vegas and ran off with it.
They did.
It's a crazy
great fabric.
That is sweeping the nation.
It really, yes, absolutely. But I did finally convince a salesperson to let me special order a yard of this fabric. I put down the deposit. I filled out the paperwork, typed it into the computer, and I went away. And it took some doing to do that. And when I got home, my phone rang. And, okay, I have to explain this. I'm about 40 minutes away from Knoxville, so there was some travel time involved. Mm-hmm. I get home. I'm cooking dinner. my phone rings, and it's this lovely sales lady from Joann's saying, "You are not going to believe it. I found the bolt of fabric."
Which, by the way, I bet is the same thing at my store. I bet it's over there somewhere, misshelved.
Yes, because they've got three different fabric departments. So she canceled the special order, which was really sweet of her because I don't think they're supposed to do that.
Ooh.
And she said, "I'm putting this bolt aside with a note for you. Come back in tomorrow and get the half yard that you need." And I went back in on Tuesday, and they cut. It was a different salesperson, and she was not as fabulous as my first salesperson.
Mm.
The girl who actually cut the fabric for me, not my favorite. And I get in line, and the line is forever long. And Joann's has turned into a bank. You know how at the bank and at the post office, instead of, like, you get into one of six lines, they put you into one line, you get to the end of it, and it says, "Wait here for the next available cashier."
I love that system. That's so fair.
I do, too. I love that. So I get into that line, and it's, like, stacking up. The moment I got into line, all of a sudden, 20 people came to check out. And they're stacking up behind me, and the three people in front of me are taking some time. One woman was buying silk flowers on sale, one stem at a time.
Oh.
One Ooh. Stem at a time. Oh, my God. This woman behind me says, "This is why I hate Joann's." And I almost fell over laughing.
Oh, you're going to despise me, woman.
I know. I'm like, "Oh, girl, you were behind me in line." I knew I was going to be problems because the special order was for a full yard plus shipping, and I paid half deposit. And the fabric I was actually buying was half a yard, no shipping. So I knew I was going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, huge, huge difference in price. I get a cashier, and she looks at it. She literally says, "I have no idea how to do this." And she gets on her little headset and calls the manager.
It says, "I quit."
Yes. The manager is trying desperately to talk her through it on the headset instead of having to come to the front of the store and address this himself. And it took forever. The phones are ringing off the hook. People are stacking up in the line. Everybody is grumbling. One of the cashiers goes on break. So now we're down to two cashiers, and I have one of them tied up. And I'm not getting out of line.
No, not after that. Bay, at that point, you probably had 2 hours invested in this purchase, right?
It really, the second night was not as long as the first night.
Just so people don't have to look at my arms.
Oh, no. As long as, and then, let's save everybody from the old cap sleeve thing. But honestly, at one point, and people are like coming up to the desk, and it's the customer service desk cashier. That's who I've got. People are coming up and looking at her pointedly and looking at me like, "You evil thing," and then going away. But this one woman wouldn't back down.
Oh.
She was going to get some customer service if it killed her. And she finally just said, "Honey, do you sell any bedazzlers?" No, I'm standing right there. I could see what she's wearing. I can see the handbag she's carrying.
Uh-huh.
This is so mean. But honestly, she said, "Do you got any bedazzlers?" And I'm looking at her and thinking, "Honey, how much more bling do you need?"
Oh.
She was covered in rhinestones. I mean, the only reason she was looking for another bedazzler was because she broke the one she already
had. Wore it out. Well, the happy ending.
It was an adventure.
The happy ending to the story is I have a half a yard of sleeve material in the mail coming to me to cover up my little arms. And this is just in time.
Yes.
I have to tell you, babe, just today I was accused at work. I made a coat and it got cold. I mean, it was in the
70s. Did you wear your coat?
Yeah, it was in the 70s a couple of weeks ago. And now, today, the high was like in the mid-50s. It was cold. And they jokingly, of course, they accused me. So I really have to finish up the short sleeve blouse so it'll get warm again.
Yay!
Let's talk, talk, talk until you talked yourself into the ground. Let's walk, walk, walk until you've taken me and danced around this love, love, love.
Well, babe, we've got something special this week. Since we have to do without a top design episode, and since there was some other little show earlier this week, we've brought in an expert, a guest speaker, if you will.
I'm so excited. I could die.
Sean in Little Rock, our resident Oscar expert, is going to tell us about the Academy Awards from this last week. Welcome, Sean.
Hello. Hey.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, babe. It's great to hear you guys.
We've been corresponding in email, especially Sean and Bay have been going back and forth with the Oscar talk. And Sean, you've got some experience here. You're a little bit of an expert on the Academy Awards. You're serious.
Yeah, well, thanks. I have a friend, the only Broadcast Association member, Critics Association member in Arkansas I'm friends with. So I kind of help her along with her Oscar picks because I've studied the Oscars for probably 10 or 15 years. So that's kind of my background as far as if that, you can call me an Oscar expert for that. That's, I guess you can.
Well, how long have you been making these picks seriously? Because we all sit in front of the TV and say, oh, I like that movie or whatever. How long have you been kind of really getting serious about this?
Probably the mid-90s.
Wow.
All right.
So I probably have about 10 years of actually, you know, doing the predictions because I'll actually predict the nominees as well, especially for Renee because she has to do it on the air. So I will, you know, help her with who we think is going to get, you know, the nominations.
Do you get paid for this?
No. Just for fun. But, you know, it'd be nice someday.
The secret is out. Now we know where she gets
well,
all her knowledge.
That- You mentioned in email that you have an Oscars party.
It's usually Renee usually does something. Past couple years, we've been going to some friend's house, and it's usually probably 20 or 30 people usually. So,
well, it's so great.
And going back to your nominee picks, how accurate were you on the nominations?
I usually run 85% to 90%.
Wow.
Wow. So
this year was a little more difficult because they were all over the place. So.
Well, there were some surprises in there for the nominations, weren't there?
I mean, just especially like some of the technical categories and then, of course, the big one that was the biggest surprise was that Dreamgirls wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
Oh.
Oh.
It had plenty of other nominations, but not Best Picture. You're right. Yeah, I read about it at the time. See, you pay attention to this stuff, and it just kind of goes past me.
Yeah. It got the most nominations of any film, and then it didn't get a nomination for Best Picture.
What are the politics behind that? I mean, do you get into what the studios are doing to publicize these things?
Not really, but you can go to there's a good site called OscarWatch.com, mm-hmm. and they really seem to get more into the politics, and they have there's the four-year consideration, which the trade papers will send out these four-year consideration to say four-year consideration, you know, Dreamgirls for Best Picture, and it's, you know, and so that's kind of the politics of it, and, you know, the Academy's crazy. You never know what they're going to do.
Well, it was a great group this year, and I was on the edge of my seat. I really was. To see if, because at the end of the thing, everyone was going, maybe there are going to be some upsets.
Especially after Alan Arkin won for Best Supporting Actor.
And nobody was calling that.
Yeah, but it's something when you look back at it as like an Oscar guru, you look back at it and go, you know, he's an older actor. He's been nominated as a third nomination. You know, he's never won. It's sort of that makeup award, and they do that a lot.
I was going to say, a lot of times they give the award two or three movies too late, right?
Right. Well, Paul Newman. I mean, The Color Money wasn't his best movie, but yet they look at his career and go, we need to give this guy an Oscar.
Is it I saw something online, Sean. You have to tell me if it was real or made up, but I saw a thing. It was one of those for your consideration things for Eddie Murphy for Dreamgirls. And the quote on there was something like, a performance so great you'll forget about bad career choices and fat suits. Did you?
I don't know if that was a for your consideration. I think that might have been a blogger.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't real. All right. I thought it was very clever, though.
And, you know, that's what people said. Maybe what something that did hurt him was, you know, he did have these movies where he's wearing the fat suit and stuff, you know. So,
well, out of the whole ceremony there, Sean, what was the big highlight for you?
I just think Ellen. I mean, I love Ellen, and I thought she just was so entertaining.
She had mixed reviews,
rocked. Oh, I thought he rocked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why they did. It's because she made it that way because, you know, it would have been a long, boring award show if it wasn't, I think, for Ellen and setting that tone of just fun and we're here to have fun, we're here to celebrate and just, you know, don't worry about it kind of attitude that she has already, you know.
And my favorite part was when she handed the camera to Steven Spielberg so that she could have her picture taken.
From MySpace, no less.
So great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that to me was the most classic moment. That goes down probably as one of the most classic moments ever in Oscar history. I mean, and the fact, too, that she handed Martin Scorsese the script as well, you know.
Uh-huh.
And where's my script?
Oh, that was so great. I enjoyed that. Other Oscar stuff that absolutely must be mentioned. Sean, who is the best-dressed man at the Oscars?
I think that it was Leonardo DiCaprio because he finally came in. He looked like old Hollywood. He looked grown up and he was the one that to me just lit up the red carpet.
He cleans up pretty well. And he probably learned a thing or two when he did The Aviator, when he looked at that and said, you know what? I look good.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, his tux was just so classic looking, and I don't know what the material was, but to me it seemed like it popped, you know?
It was alive. There was something, there was light coming out of that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then, who is the worst dressed man?
That's it, babe. Make him some enemies. There you go.
Probably...
You know, I thought that Quincy Jones was the worst-dressed man with the gold blotches on the jacket.
Well, yeah, but if you remember Spike Lee, I think I called him the comic book supervillain.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, come on. I mean, to me, that trumped the Quincy. Quincy Jones, you expect him to kind of wear the crazy kind of stuff, but come on, Spike.
It's kind of hard to be poorly dressed as a guy at the Oscars. It's just so easy to say, okay, black tux. There you go. They
right.
have to and try.
That seems like, you know, they would, with all the Joan Rivers and all the fashion, you know, gurus that have been out there, you'd think that, hey, they'd figure it out. Hey, if we wear a classic black tux, you know, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Well, it can, but remember the year that Peter Jackson wore a completely wrinkled black tux? You can still go wrong even with a black tux.
You can mess it up.
Yeah, you can mess it up.
Well, now, Sean, of course, when Bay said the other question that she was going to ask, I thought the obvious one was going to be who was the best-dressed woman.
Right.
That's
to me,
easy.
The best dress was Kate Blanchett because you saw that dress from the top, but then when they pan down and you see all the red beading on the dress at the bottom, that was a stellar dress.
I was swooning over Helen Mirren's dress. I just thought that was out of this world.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a good year.
Yeah. I mean, and she's like 61 and she looks stellar.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree.
If you watch the awards leading up to the Oscars, too, every single time on the red carpet, she just looked fantastic.
Mm. That's hard to do. Yeah. That goes on for hours and hours and hours and hours, and for them not to melt under the lights, that's got to be difficult.
Right, right.
Okay, so, then. Worst dressed woman.
Well, to me, we had emailed back and forth about this, but Meryl Streep, come on.
She looked like a librarian.
I quoted on the email to Bay, I quoted somebody else from one of the fashion shows that she looked like the lesbian high school guidance counselor.
You know,
she's got to be tired of it. It's like, yeah, another Oscar awards. I got to get something here. This'll do.
But Bay was saying, well, you know, she wanted to be comfortable. She just was there along for the ride. But it's like, okay, yeah, but just you're going to wear something comfortable for the ride. Wear like a nice black dress or something. Come on.
Something simple and elegant.
Yeah. Right. Simple, elegant.
Well, Judy Dench. I was going to say Judy Dench also stayed home and stayed comfortable. Yeah, well, and Meryl could have done the same thing. She chose to go.
Judy would have been there if she didn't have all the operations Ellen was saying. Actually, no, she was having knee surgery. That's why she couldn't be there. But Ellen was, you know, I'm sure Judy was appreciating all Ellen's little jokes because I know that Dame Judy has a very good sense of humor. So
that's true. That is true.
And by the way, that's a movie that I have got to see. I read the book, and the book was riveting. I never imagined when I was reading it, though, I didn't think, oh, this will make a great movie.
Oh, yeah, The Devil.
Judy Dench is fantastic in that movie.
Or what?
No, Notes on a Scandal. The book was named, What Was She Thinking? Notes on a Scandal.
Wow. I'll have to read that. You're keeping things from me, Amy.
Sorry, I'll have to mail that to you.
Well, Sean knows that I slightly disagree with him on who was the worst dressed woman there. And I feel guilty for saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I thought Naomi Watts looked like a school bus.
Mm.
And Sean, what Sean said, she's pregnant. Be nice.
Thank you for having some civility, Sean.
Well, and the other thing, too, like, you know, the sash that she had on, it looked black on camera because she had that sash, that Empire Way sash that went across, you know. But it was really navy blue. So
right.
I think if you saw it in person, it probably didn't look as bad as it did, you know, because it looked black. Look like a school bus stripe across her front there.
It did. And I wasn't referring to her size when I said she looked like a school bus. I was talking about the yellow and black.
Yeah, right, Bay. Yeah, try and save yourself now.
It was navy blue, though. The size is navy blue. And if you see it in photographs, you can barely see it. It's like a really dark, you know, navy blue. So maybe it looked better.
She's never worn anything like that I can recall on the red carpet. And so, you know, next year she'll probably look fabulous again. And I'm just jealous.
Yellow doesn't always work on the red carpet, you know. I mean, it's just kind of one of those colors. I think the only yellow dress in history that ever worked was Michelle Williams' dress last year.
Oh, yeah.
Nice yellow, and it worked.
What a great memory you have. Now, Sean, I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's finish up this segment with this question. Who are we never going to hear from again? Who won an award that's just going to disappear now?
I'm hoping that, as far as acting goes, Jennifer Hudson doesn't disappear.
Mm-hmm.
She was good.
I mean, because she did great acting that as well as singing, but I'm hoping that maybe now she's got the Oscar and she's just going to sing now, you know?
I'm just thinking about in past years, like Marissa Tomei. She kind of faded away. Yeah.
I don't think we have anybody this year that's going to – I think this is going to be – just heighten the careers of these people. I really do.
Well, thank you, Sean. That was a great segment. And next year, we're going to have to get you on the podcast before the Oscars.
Thank goodness we have somebody on the show who knows what they're talking about.
Yay!
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be your first guest.
Yes.
You're just the bomb.
And you know, you never forget your first.
And I'm getting ready to go walk Ziggy, so I will tell him hi for you guys. And
thank you.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Bye, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye, Ziggy.
Bye.
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 Let's talk, talk, talk until you talked yourself into the ground. Let's walk, walk, walk until you've taken me and danced around this love, love, love.
Cheryl B. Englehart, talk, talk, talk from the Podsafe Music Network. So perfect for our nice little talk with Sean.
Oh my gosh, I've got chills. I've got goosebumps.
Well, it's just so fun to talk with a listener. I mean, he's been emailing us, and we've seen pictures of him and seen pictures of Ziggy, yes, the puppy dog.
And he is definitely an Oscar expert.
But yes, it bears repeating. He is referenced by the, he's like a serious Oscar pundit. He puts his predictions out there, and I think he got out of the top 8 awards, he got one wrong because everybody thought Eddie Murphy was going to win, and he was wrong about that. But the guy's good, knows what he's talking about.
He's very good, and I just love him to death.
And besides, yes, he's a sweetheart.
It was just so cool to talk to him.
Yes, yes. So let's do that again sometime.
So that was an excellent show. Yes, definitely. And thanks for listening, everybody. You guys rock.
Yes, we had a great time. But, of course, do get in touch with us like Sean did. Write us an email at amyorbay@gritstoglitz.com.
Or call us at our voicemail, which is 206-G2G-GRIT.
Mm-hmm. And, of course,
it still works.
Yeah, check out the website, gritstoglitz.com. It's got all the contact information on there and lots of goodies.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Greasy coffee beans. The only high that's really clean. I like cream in my coffee like a thundercloud. Sugar as sweet as a horn is loud. If you wanna break the old routine, grind up some coffee beans. Ah, greasy, greasy coffee beans. Greasy, greasy coffee beans. Greasy, greasy coffee beans.